Morning. We serve a great God. We'll put our faith and trust in Him, in His goodness. Boy, it's wonderful how good He is to us each and every day. And I think there's so much that God does that we don't even have a clue that He is doing. Boy, His goodness is amazing. Thank you, praise team, for that. Take your Bibles this morning. Go back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 5. We need to be in prayer for Israel with all the things that are happening there. Be in prayer for God's protection, peace, and guidance upon the nation and for all the wars and things that are happening in Israel. Be in prayer for Israel this morning. Romans chapter number 5 is where we are this morning. We're continuing part 2 of justification. Now, I know that we've heard this before because if you were here last week, I spoke on this same topic, but I didn't get to finish it. There's a saying that goes like this: repetition is the law of learning and the mother of all skill. So that's what we're trying to do. Repeat. Repetition, the law of learning and the mother of all skill. Ultimately, I do feel that there is a loss today among Christians and among Christian churches of doctrine and understanding doctrine, understanding the teaching of the Word of God. I love stories and I love illustrations, but they fail and they have no power. The Word of God does not fail, and the Word of God has complete power. So we need to have understanding to the Word of God and understand the things that God is doing on our behalf. And as you study Scripture, you'll find that the primary subject and the primary topic is going to be about the salvation of mankind through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as you come through the Old Testament, a lot of it is showing and picturing and demonstrating and illustrating what Christ would do upon the cross. And then, of course, as you get to the New Testament, Christ is born, and you see the story of His life, and you see the story of His death, and the story of His resurrection. And then He ascends up into heaven, and you have the apostles spreading the good news of Christ, and the apostle Paul, who was a slave to sin, on the way to persecute more believers of Christ that is saved on the road to Damascus, and writes to us about grace and mercy, and this wonderful word that we find this morning from Romans 5, which is the word justification. Justification. 3 weeks we talked about grace. 2 weeks we talk about justification. Understanding what that means in my life and how it impacts me. You say, Josh, we just talked about this last week. I understand. Martin Luther said this. Now listen, you'll feel better after I read you this. Martin Luther said, every week I preach justification by faith to my people because every week they forget it. So maybe that's why I'm having to go back to the same topic, right? Every week I preach justification by faith to my people because every week they forget it. And so what does that mean? Romans 5:1, the Bible says this: therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Martin Luther also said this. He says, the doctrine of justification is the head and cornerstone. It alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the church of God. And without it, the church cannot exist for 1 hour. Doctrine of justification by faith. See, here's the situation. Mankind is seeking to be right with God. I've explained to you that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of sin coming into the world, death is in the world. We are impacted and surrounded by sin each and every day. We are in need of reconciliation. We are in need of a restored relationship with our Creator. And so then mankind goes about and says, well, how can I be in a right relationship with God? And then mankind comes with all these answers, right? You ask certain religions and they'll say, well, if you do these things, that'll make you right with God. Some would say that man is right with God through good deeds or good works or by keeping of a law or being a good person. Some people think that's what makes you right with God, and none of those are the case. The works of the law do not earn righteousness. Do not earn forgiveness from God. Forgiveness from God comes through justification. And justification comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Justification is on God's side, as I've explained to you before. It is the reckoning by God of your innocence, that you are declared not guilty of your sin. And it's based upon something that happened in the past. Well, what is it that happened in the past? The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what Romans 5:1 says. Therefore, being justified, or having been justified by faith, that in the past God worked out our justification through Jesus Christ, and it happened in the past, which continues results into the future. And because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to fly through a quick review from last week, and then we'll get started with some new material. Justification is a declaration by the God of heaven that man stands righteous in his sight. God justifies man on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ alone. We are not declared innocent by works. Get over yourself. It's about Christ. We are forgiven by Christ. The scriptures, time and time again, remind us that it's not by works, it's by Jesus Christ. Because man has a bad problem. Our problem is our own pride, and our problem is our own ability to praise ourselves. We are not saved by works. We are saved by Jesus Christ. And so God justifies man on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned last week, Romans 3:19 talks about God judicially pronouncing the whole world guilty before him in Romans 3:19, but then proclaims that because of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, that you can be declared righteous in his sight because of Jesus Christ. I don't know if I ever told you this story or not, but as a young boy, I'm going to give you a little story about my criminal past. And I was 7 when this happened, okay? So it wasn't too bad. But when I was 7 years old, my brother and I decided to play a prank on my mom. Not a good thing to do, but we're boys. We thought that that would be a fun thing. We were living in West Palm Beach, Florida at the time. And I've not seen these in years, but they used to make these firecrackers that if you would pull them, they'd pop, right? And now I've only seen the ones now you pull and they have confetti come out. But these were like gunpowder in between or something, and you could pull them and they would pop. Well, my brother and I said, hey, my brother's name is John. And he said, let's put them on the mailbox. So when mom checks the mail, poof, it'll pop. It'll be fun. Well, we didn't know what a wad that big would do. So we go to the mailbox and we string them and we string them and we string them. And we got it set up for my mom. And we're sitting back in the woods there in Florida, or in the little Palmetto area there. And the post lady comes. We thought she'd already come. And we see her coming down the road and we panic. What in the world are we going to do? She's going to get to the mailbox before mom. So we try to figure something out. Long story short, the federal post lady pulls that mailbox thing open and it, poof! She starts chasing us with the mail jeep. We are running full speed and we are being chased by the mail jeep in West Palm Beach, Florida. We run through the woods and we head home and we think, oh, phew, we got away with this. I'm only 7 years old at the time. I'm in my house. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I'm bouncing on my parents' bed. 1, 2, 3 black cars in my driveway. Men with suits. The FBI was at my house within 10 minutes. I'm 7. I need justification. I need someone to declare my innocence here. I'm 7 years old. I still remember the guys are out, black suits, white shirts, black ties, come to my door, knock on the door, and they want me. I'm 7. I'm young enough to be bouncing in my parents' bed. Little did I know that at the time, this is West Palm Beach, Florida. This was our house as a kid was robbed twice. I still remember coming home from the grocery store and the house being just ransacked and someone had broken in and stolen stuff. Then it happened again. And remember when you used to have to pay long distance by the minute? We were on vacation. Someone broke in and called long distance all week. We got the phone bill, thousands of dollars, as they've broken, just use the phone. There's a lot of crime in this area in West Palm Beach, Florida. So anyway, little did I know as a kid, there was a mail bomber in the area. And they thought I was it, right? That's why the FBI came so quick, because they thought, we've got him now. It's a 7-year-old kid and his 11-year-old brother. That's who's been doing it. So thank the Lord we were able to convince them that we were trying to play a prank on my mom, which we shouldn't have done, yada, yada, yada. My dad was at work, and he gets on the phone with the FBI man. He says, listen, these boys didn't mean to do it. It was trying to play a prank on their mom. This is not who you're looking for. And they finally left. But I was in hot water. Don't tell anybody about this, okay? This has to stay between us. But listen, you know, the situation is, you don't realize that you need forgiveness by God until you realize your sin. I was in trouble. I needed some help. I needed forgiveness. I needed someone to come and to help me in this situation. And that's where we are before God. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means if I die without Christ, I am short of where I needed to be. I'm not where I should be. I do not have forgiveness of sin. And so I need justification. I need to be justified by Jesus Christ. And so God justifies or forgives me, not based upon my own merit, but on the merit of Jesus Christ. And this is a statement I read to you last week. Justification is the declaring and the reckoning by God to a believing sinner, I love this, the whole value of the infinite work of Christ upon the cross and connecting the believer with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ himself. That's what God is doing through justification. So three things, just a quick reminder again. What is justification doing? It is the remission of the penalty of sin. The remission of the penalty of sin, which was death. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And so the justification in my faith in Jesus Christ is the remission of the penalty of sin. I have a home in heaven. The second thing, go to John 3:36. We didn't have time to go to this last week. John 3:36, the second thing justification does is a restoration of God's favor. It's a restoration of God's favor. John 3:36 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's a restoration of God's favor. Without Christ, the Bible says, the wrath of God abideth on me. So justification through Christ, or forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, is a restoration of the favor of God, which was lost because of sin. So justification is more than just acquittal. It is full acceptance, as he says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not hath not life, and shall not even see life, as John 3:36 says. So justification is more than just acquittal, but is full acceptance by God through Jesus Christ. We are now co-heirs with Christ. And then number three, one of my favorite points of this, is the imputation of righteousness. I get imputed the very righteousness of Jesus Christ to my account. A great transaction. When I trust Christ as my Savior and Him alone, I have been given the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean for me in my life. Go to Galatians chapter number 3, and this chapter helps us understand even a little more about justification. Galatians chapter number 3. You'll find that I love Romans and I love Galatians. But Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 21. And we're going to slowly talk about this. Then I'm going to give you four applications for this word, and then we'll move on to something else next week. Galatians 3 and verse number 21. It says, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid," he says, "or may it never be." Now look at what he says here. "For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily or surely righteousness should have been by the law." Interesting here. So he says, if there was another way for man to be forgiven, surely God would have done that. Boy, does it get any clearer than that? He says, if there had been a law which would have given life or given righteousness, then righteousness should have been by the law. What in this world are we doing trying to earn our righteousness by keeping of the law? The law does not give righteousness. Being good does not give the righteousness you and I need. Now, people don't like this because we want some credit. We want to say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Listen, I was a pastor in the Bible Belt, 15, almost 16 years. Everybody's saved in the Bible Belt, right? I mean, it was very rare that you would, the statement I would always make is, if I can get you lost, getting you saved is the easy part. But you don't think you're lost. Everybody's good. Everybody helps people. Everybody this. But the Bible says, there's no law given or ever could be given that could provide righteousness. You and I needed a Savior. And this is what how God does in verse number 22. But the Scripture, that's the Word of God. But the Scripture, he says, hath concluded all under sin. So there goes our argument of, well, I'm a pretty good person. You ever heard someone say that? I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good person. The Bible says the Scripture has concluded everybody is under sin. That is a decree by God. He says that the promise, he says in verse 22, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Given by whom? By God. Through Christ, because of justification, because of the work of Jesus Christ. So he says that the Scripture has concluded all under sin, so all in the same condition as sinners, that the promise or salvation would be given to them that believe, that put their faith and trust in God's way of salvation, not man's idea. Not reincarnation, not keeping of a law, not following the Ten Commandments for salvation. We can talk about all that another time. But salvation and forgiveness of sin is by Jesus Christ and trusting in His finished work. So he says this, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Christ Jesus might be given to them that believe. Then he says in verse number 23, we're getting to this word we're studying, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, he says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What does that mean? School? What in the world, Josh, are you talking about? Now stay with me here. All right, I know we're going verse by verse this morning. What is a schoolmaster? What's the purpose of a law? If the law, this is the question he's answering. If the law was not given to bring righteousness, why is it here? And so Paul says, here's why. The law shows you your sinfulness. It shows you your inability to keep it. Right? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder who all's ever told a lie. Thank you, Charlie. Amen, right? Thank you, Charlie. We've all told a lie out of the mouth of babes, right? Everybody's lied. Well, you just broke the law. Thou shalt not lie. We won't go any deeper. Stealing, adultery, fornicating, all these things. We are in desperate condition. The law reveals the sin, but does not forgive the sin. I explained that to you with the speed limit sign, right? The speed limit sign shows you the law, but it does not pay any tickets. Zero. Try that sometime. You'll probably get another ticket for stealing a speed limit sign. And so the law does not pay the ticket. It shows what the law is. And so he says this, should attribute be revealed. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The law says, look, you can't keep this. Look how you keep breaking. You recognize you're a sinner and you're in need of a Savior. And so the law shows you and points you to Christ because it reveals your own sinfulness. Without the law, you don't know what a sin is. With the law, the Bible says sin abounds. And so look at what he says in verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And then we get to our word this morning, that something would happen. That we might be, say it with me, justified by faith. The law shows us our sin, shows us our own inability. Christ is the only one that could bring salvation. And so the law shows us that sin, that we would come to Christ and be declared not guilty of the law we just broke because of the work of Jesus Christ by faith. Trusting in Him. What's faith? Well, some people give an acronym of faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. I forsake all my own abilities, my own understanding, my own whatever it may be that you're trusting in for salvation, and you come by faith to Jesus Christ. So the law was that schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we would come to Him by faith. And then he says, we could get into this verse another time, but after that, faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We are saved. We are justified by faith. So quick, four applications for this. What does justification mean? What does it provide? Is I have come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Number one, I am given and I am at peace with God. I am at peace with God through Jesus Christ. There is now, therefore, no condemnation, he says in Romans 8. Romans 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I have been forgiven and been imputed righteousness, I am at peace with God. Number two, one of my favorite things, I have access to God. When's the last time you prayed, you began your prayer, Father, thank you for this day, right? You have access to the creator of the universe through Jesus Christ because you have been justified. I have standing before God. I have a righteous standing before God because of Jesus Christ. How many people do not recognize who they are in Jesus Christ? We walk around, let's just be honest for a moment. I'll try to wake some of you back up here. Let's be honest for a moment. Most Christians walk around like this. You know, I mean, we're just down. We're discouraged. You know, we don't recognize all that we have in Jesus Christ. We don't realize that how God has placed us into His Son, that we have been forgiven of our sins. What could be better than this? So I have peace with God. I have access to God. I have a standing before God. He says, you come before me boldly. And not only that, but I have something else coming. I have glorification, future glorification. That's another word we could talk about. But I'm going to be glorified. That means that I will live eternally What's it going to be like to not have to live by that clock on the wall back there, right? Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, month, year. You know, on and on we go. We have eternity awaiting us because of Jesus Christ. We have a new heaven and a new earth. Oh my goodness, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I've read a funny story one time of a man that was dying, and the angel came to get him, and the man said, wait a second, I got to get something. He runs to his closet and starts packing his suitcase with gold bars. And the angel looks at him and says, why in the world are you bringing pavement with you? Streets of gold, right? You know, I mean, we have so much to look forward to. We have, through Jesus Christ, future glorification through Jesus Christ. We have peace and access and standing and glorification because of justification in Jesus Christ. Our standing and acceptance in Christ allows us not to question God's love even in the midst of difficulties. Which is why, very interesting, I find that in Romans 5, where we started this morning, he talks about justification, and he wants them to know who they are and where they are, and they're standing before God. And then guess where the chapter starts going in Romans 5? To tribulations. Because he wants them to know that even in the midst of difficult time, this is who you are in Jesus Christ. One more statement I have for you this morning. There's a story of a man, I think I told this in Awana. There's a story of a man that had a job to raise and lower the bridge for boats to come through on the river or for trains to cross over. And his job was that when the boats would come, he would raise the bridge. And then when the boat would pass under, if you've ever been down to the coast, you know some of the boats are too high to go under the bridges. So they raise them up and they lower them back down. So this man, on a particular Saturday, he was going to his job, as he typically did, and his son asked to go with him. He said, Dad, can I come with you to work today? The dad said, well, sure, you can come if you want to. And they got there, and he said, now, son, I want you to remember, do not play in any of the gearing or these things, because there's going to be a lot of things going on, and just stay away from that. Then, oh, okay, Dad, I won't. So the dad's sitting there drinking his coffee, and all of a sudden, he hears the ship coming down the water, the lane there, the canal, and he raises the bridge just like he always does, and he's waving at the crew of the ship. And then he hears a distant sound. It's the sound of a train horn. And he looks at his watch, and he realizes that that train is the passenger train that's running 20 minutes early for the day. He begins to panic. He realizes that if he doesn't lower that bridge, the second that boat goes under it, the train will crash and it will most likely kill almost everyone on board. So he sits there at the controls waiting and waiting, waiting for the last little bit of that boat to go under, and he's going to hit the lever and lower that bridge as quick as he can. Just as the boat is clearing the bridge, he looks and his son is playing in the gears. He has a decision to make. Hit the lever, kill the son and save everyone on the train. Leave the bridge up, save his son. What will he do? In a moment, he hits the lever. The bridge lowers and his son dies. The bridge goes down. The train goes over the tracks. The man comes to the edge of the canal and he yells this at the train. Have you any idea what I just did for you? And the people in the train are just sipping their coffee. They're living their lives and they're going on to their destination. He yells again. Have you any idea what I just did for you? He sacrificed his son so they could live. My friends, I tell you this today. Get over your own works. You and I need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can give you and I what we need. We have fallen short of the glory of God so much that He sent His Son into the world to go to a cross to die for you. And I say this respectfully, but would you not think that God of heaven is looking down upon this earth and seeing all the nonsense man is trying to do to get themselves to heaven? And would He not say the same thing that that man said about his son that day to you today? Have you any idea what I've done for you? Why would you not run to Christ for salvation? Why would you ever want to depend upon your own ability or your own merit? Why would you ever for one second want to not know for sure you are on your way to heaven when you die? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon Jesus for salvation? God has done it all for you. Have you put your faith in Him today? Joanna's going to come and play something on the piano for us. Would you be willing to bow your heads with me for just a moment today? Just bow your heads for just a moment, no one looking around. The answer to the question that I'll ask you will be the difference for all eternity. I wonder who today would be willing to raise their hand and say, Josh, I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. I remember a day. I remember the time. Would you raise your hand? I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. I've trusted Him. Thank you. Many, many, many hands. Let me ask you another question today. Is there anyone here that's never trusted Jesus? Would you want to call upon Him today? Call upon Jesus to save you, forgive you of your sins, come into your life. Would there be anybody here that would say, Josh, I've never trusted Jesus, but boy, I want to. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all? I've never trusted Jesus. Pray for me, Josh, that I'll be saved. Thank you. The Bible says that you'll in no wise be cast out. The Bible says today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? Maybe you're here today, as many of you are, many of you know Christ. Are you trusting in Him every day? Are you following Him? Are you living in His power? Just take a moment there in your seat and talk to the Lord. You can call upon Him right there where you're at. You can look back up here at me. I pray if you're saved today, you've been encouraged about who Christ is and what He's done. If you're not saved, I pray that you'll trust Christ as your Savior. The greatest decision you could ever make is trusting Jesus to be your Savior. All right, we're going to stand to our feet today, and Monty's going to put up our final verse. We'll say that together this morning. I think we're getting better at saying these together, right? Let's see if we can do it again. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. Let's have a word of prayer and just pray the Holy Spirit will work in all of our hearts that we'll know more of the greatness and the glory of Christ. Father, thank you for who you are and what you've done. I can't even fathom the majesty of the work of Christ. Lord, use my feeble attempt to communicate these truths. May the Holy Spirit take them and work in every heart. Your word is amazing. The work of Christ is amazing. Amazing, Lord, that you have provided forgiveness of sin for me, free through grace because of Christ. Amazing. There's no one like you. And we praise you for your name, for your word, and for your glory. I thank you for this opportunity to be together this day. Take the truth of your word and work in every heart. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Pray for Israel now with the attacks that they're taking. Be with Molly's brother Max as he's there in Israel. Provide a safe way for him to get home and protect him. And I ask, Lord, that you would lead and guide in every area. In Jesus' name, amen.